Hola, chicas. Happy Wednesday to you. Consuelo Crosby here, host of Encuentras Your Voice podcast, coming to you in this spring moment, wondering if any of you had witnessed that eclipse that came roaring through the U.S. and Mexico. I did not, but I am a little jelly of anyone who went traveling to experience it. I've only been in a partial one, so I wonder what it was like for you, because some of those posts, wow, they were really cosmic. And as everybody is talking about, with Mercury in retrograde and all the action that's happening out there, I'm feeling we're shaking things up, which is definitely happening on this episode, where we introduce you to Hope Lopez, co-founder of Moonlight Comedy Productions, a multidisciplinary filmmaker and Chicana activist born and raised in Southern California. As she describes, she's a showrunner, director, writer, producer, actor, editor, and musician. She is all the things, but with a big twist. She has the intention of bringing accurate representation to marginalized communities through complex and intersectional characters. She is brilliant, you can tell, even finishing college in 3 years and multitudes of AP classes. She was hungry to get out into the real world, start that adulting, and change media productions so that marginalized communities are not one of the checkbox characters. All of this is happening through the lens of comedy, but not the type of comedy you're used to seeing where the jokes are usually tearing someone down, right? Or humiliating an entire community or race. No, not going to find that here. Hope's vision focuses on the humor of just being human. As she says, a bit of SNL mixed with Parks and Rec. Amplifying and laughing together. That's the key point, together, in the hilarity of just living life. In this episode, you will hear Hope mention something that is mind-blowing when it comes to how comedy has always been framed. And none of this happens without the pure authenticity of the players involved in Moonlight Comedy Productions. As Hope states, humor comes from a place of authenticity, rooted in vulnerability, because there we can trust each other and feel safe to be our genuine self. That's so refreshing to be able to let your guard down and admit to the humorous day in and day out life experiences without feeling like it's going to come flying back at us. Still, it's not all laughs in this episode, and I'm being really serious now, so I want to be sure to provide a safe place for listening. Because Hope, in her most authentic and vulnerable self, shares a heart-wrenching moment in her life involving sexual assault. In her most compassionate state, she protects us from the details, yet unfolding the story does trigger emotions. You will hear me ask her about a barrier that may have been really difficult for her to overcome. And that is the moment that you may want to pause the episode if you're feeling unsure about it. And yet, even so, Hope's message to anyone experiencing assault is so empowering, loving, and supportive that it will lift you up. And like always here on Encuentras Your Voice podcast, help you realize you are never alone in this comunidad, and that many people have shared common experiences that brings the empathy across the platform. So let's all gather, find your comfy place to join in the amigohood, and lean in love for Hope Lopez, co-founder of Moonlight Comedy Productions. I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome to Encuentras, your voice podcast. This is going to be a fun, energetic episode, and I'm so ready for it. How are you today?
I'm amazing. I just want to say thank you for just inviting me on. I am so beyond blessed, and I'm so excited to share my story as well as bring in that sort of like representation that I never had seen grow up. So thank you. And I just appreciate you.
Oh, I love it. I love you. Thank you for being here then. I would love to just dive in and hear about what your heritage is, because we love archiving the diaspora of our beautiful Latinidad. And also what it was like for you. What was it like growing up with this cultural identity?
Absolutely. I mean, I always have the same script because like growing up, I used to get questioned a lot, you know, of like, okay, well, you're light skin, you got all the other features, you know, like what are you? You know, I always say I'm a quarter New Zealand and 75% Mexican. My dad was born in Tangamandapio in Michoacán. So for anybody who knows, it's the, you know, from El Chavo del Ocho, like the mailman is from Tangamandapio. So that's probably like the most representation that I've seen with regards to like media and from him being there. My mom, she was born in the States. Her mom was from New Zealand, Christchurch, New Zealand. She married a Samoan man. So I have a bunch of aunties and uncles who are half Samoan. Yeah. And then my mom, who is half Mexican from a different, you know, man. And she kind of like internalized a lot of things about being different, you know? You know, she didn't look like it. She didn't look like her siblings. She was the only daughter from that relationship. So she felt like odd man out. And that, you know, internalization like carries down, especially when, you know, your dad's not there. He doesn't teach you the language. You know, and there's no like roadmap or history in your mind. So like walking through everyday life, it was just like, okay, I'm always ni aquí, ni allá, always, todo el tiempo, todos los días, just like always a constant, like, okay, walking the borderline of what it means to be, you know, of different races. So obviously I internalized that belief that I had to be perfect so no one could critique me at all. And, you know, it's something that I carried on, you know, started early from school, had to be straight A's, you know, had to be that person that no one can make fun of because it really hurt my sense of identity and sense of self. I moved from San Pedro to Orange County, which was a big culture shock for me. It was a huge culture shock. I had more opportunity than I've ever had, which I was very thankful for. You know, I took 13 AP classes. I was able to graduate from college in 3 years with a degree in screenwriting and a minor in production management. But it takes more of a strong person to kind of accept that and be like, okay, I accept the fact that I'm this way. I accept the fact that I have really curly hair that's probably like African hair, and having like light skin that's from English and Irish descent, having my nose be from Native descent. You know, it's always like my body type. Like I'm not a skinny girl. Like I literally like struggling growing up also body type wise. Like that's always in the community, you're called gordita or flaca, and it's like real, you know, it sucks to have those like names consistently. But I'm sorry, I'm taking off the whole conversation, amiga. Lo siento.
I know, I love it. It happens and it needs to, because it's like having a champagne bottle uncorked. I mean, finally, someone is asking, tell me your story. We don't have that platform. Latinos across for generations don't have a platform. So I love it. I love that you're just pop the cork full of bubbles. But it's a story that does resonate, and it's so heart-wrenching. I feel it's heart-wrenching that it keeps happening generation after generation after generation. It's not stopping, like you say, the colorism. And the identity, even within the family, within the culture, obviously within the society that we're assigning, you know, we're profiling, we're putting you into a box. Oh, this is who you are. And the threat. I mean, of course, there's the threat. Mm-hmm. You're smart, you're brilliant, you have ideas, you have this presence, you have this joy. Of course they're going to go, oh, we got to find something wrong. But yeah. I'm so proud of you for rising above. Absolutely. That's awesome.
I'm trying so hard not to tear up. That's so beautiful because it's like, you know, again, we don't have these platforms and it's only we're going to have to create our own space. And mm-hmm. and unfortunately, that's just the hard truth that we had to learn, you know, and it's honestly, we're so much more than, you know, whatever preconceived notions that mm-hmm. we are made out to be, you yeah. know. Yeah. No, thank you for just like sharing that as well. I think it is a popping open the bottle, you know?
Yes.
As much so. Yeah.
Bubbles. Let it out. Let the world now put it out in the universe. Yes, absolutely. But you have to tell me now, screenwriting. Yeah. Screenwriting.
Yes. Okay.
How did that come up? Because that's a pretty small niche. It's a very specialized industry. And one that if you've listened to the previous episodes with the filmmakers, oh my Lord, there's so much rejection in that Absolutely. Industry. I had no idea. So tell me, how did you get there?
All I wanted to do was to create. And so the biggest ambition I had growing up was owning my own Mexican restaurant and having that ambition and being like, finally, I get to create realistically. And then, you know, I moved to Orange County and I got out of this box. I finally had opportunity due to, unfortunately, like gerrymandering and due to the fact that more allocation of funds are, you know, are in certain mm-hmm. districts that are happen to be white, you know, and yeah. happen to be wealthier. So it's definitely where I started to dream big. You know, I was able to create and I was like, you know what? I can do this, you know, like. I can. I'm a writer. I've always been a writer. I've always like, you know, done like poetry, done prose, done, you know, all like just like writing whatever I can to let out my word. So I thought, okay, something that really interests me and can make a big difference. I intuitively knew that writing, I can create whatever representation I wanted. Flat out. In the Latino community, it's not very, it's like you have to make money in order to be seen as working hard. And I understand that. But like at the same time, like when we're going towards our goals and we don't have that, like, you know, support from the family, you know, like they're saying like, oh, yeah, that's good. You're doing that. But are you making money? Are you working? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, I'm working every single day. And it's so kind of like minimized, especially when it's in the arts, because it's seen as like if you're, you know, you gotta be on your feet. Otherwise, you're going to be stereotyped as lazy. And I hate that so much. I understand that a lot.
There's something about being that first gen or being part of that culture here. There's no regard for your own dream. There's no support and nurturing. Like, dream big, I'll support you. It's more of, you have to be XYZ. Mm-hmm. And it's more about, because que va a decir la gente. Mm-hmm. Que va a decir la gente. We have to show you off as someone who is worthy in the society. And you have mm-hmm. to have that secure job. And you have to have the 401k and the insurance. And that way, yes, now we would be proud of you. And
It's like an expectation that is rooted in like, you know, these things of like, okay, manifest destiny, American dream. What does it mean to be successful in society, especially if you're from a different country? Like mm-hmm. it's a big culture shock to know the workload like that, you know, and the amount of rejection and the amount of like, you know, you have to be so persistent. You have to have the talent. You have to have the work ambition and that look factor. You know, not everybody can, you know, do it. And it's unfortunate, but you just got to do what you love regardless and make yourself present because that's what we do. We create, you know, we create.
You have one life. You have one life and you might as well freaking enjoy it. Love it. Be the best that you could be for yourself first, right?
Try to that, yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Alan. Yes, Alan.
So when you were writing, was this a way for you to express what you were going through, express what you were feeling, or was it you were creating a different reality? What was it?
Well, it was more so like kind of just expressing my thoughts at the time. You know, I felt like, you know, everywhere that I went, you know, it was kind of like invalidation of feelings. So I just felt like, okay, you know, I kind of grew with this imagination and felt like, okay, the only way I could really, really, you know, express my true self is within the art, you know, within art, within creativity. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like my mom taught me that. She carried that creativity from her dad. You know, her dad and his family, unfortunately, like he passed away like over a decade ago. But when we went to his funeral, they sang songs. They were so like, you know, very respectful and very much so celebratory about it. Mm-hmm. And again, that's my grandpa was from Chihuahua. So it was a very much so like the community of just having that community. And yeah. Honestly, that's kind of a big difference that I noticed within different groups that have like focused on individualism instead of focusing on yes. the community aspect. So, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's that love. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy you found that outlet to live yourself in and then just starting that, look where it's brought you. So what was your visualization from there? What did you think? Okay, what are some of the dreams? Because I know you have a million. What are some of the dreams that you saw yourself doing?
Most of the dreams that I saw myself was the fact that I would be able to create my own scripts and then be able to actualize those like as a producer, because I wanted to learn everything. You know, my dream was to learn every aspect about film so that because one area enhances another. If you're a writer, it's only going to enhance your production management. If you're producer, it only enhances like the way you look at the script, right? Like, is this possible? Is this monetarily achievable? Like, will we have, will it be an obstacle with the budget or the scheduling, you know, et cetera? Like, there's just a million factors. And to be quite honest, you have to be multidisciplinary within the industry. Otherwise, it's really tough to be marketable within that niche of a job. People, and especially if you're a color, if you're a woman, if you're LGBTQIA, have these like myriad of factors that influence the way that the job hiring is done. You know, it's really
hard. I didn't think about that. Yeah, I didn't think about that at all. So besides the industry being itself very, very difficult industry to be in, there's immense bias still. And how the space is given to different. Speak more to that, because we're so ingrained and used to just accepting what's spoon-fed to us over the screen that even though we want something other, we don't know how to demand it.
Yeah.
So can you speak more to that?
Absolutely. It's hard to demand when you're not seen. So it's kind of, that's definitely just one point that I want to show, because like if we're not in those positions of power, then it's really hard to hire other people who are like us and to bring them in. I'm going to just say that Hollywood is very gatekeepy. It's very much so holding information, holding what they do, because it's such a lucrative job. It gets people's egos to be like, you know, inflated. And it's just like all of these factors that, you know, make it so appealing. The fame, the fortune. It's like, that's not what it's about for me at all. It's about bringing people to the forefront because of the fact that it's just, it wasn't seen growing up. I mean, I remember an example, like Selena Gomez and Wizards of Waverly Place. Like there was a Quince episode. And I was like, wow, I've never... On Disney Channel, I have never. And, you know, and of course there was like, you know, a couple other, and she was mixed. So that's why I felt like, okay, this is really, you know, she was half Italian and half Mexican. Like I felt like that was really resonated with me. But honestly, like just those little, those big things, they're not even little things.
No, they're big.
Those big things, you know, and it kind of carries on to what is, shown today. You know, I've known like This Fool is getting canceled after season two, I believe. Mm-hmm. I know Hentified got canceled after season two or three. You know, just it just so happens like when we get like representation that is, you know, we finally get that spot. We finally be like, yeah, we're going to hire people who are Latinos and Latinas. We're going to hire people who represent us and write stories that are accurate, you know, and not just some idea of like, you know, who we are, but is actually who we are. No, that's not what I want it to be about. And that's kind of what we're going to change with the new generation, quite frankly, you know?
I believe in that. I believe in the new generation. I'll tell you why, because it spoke to what you were saying earlier. There's a sense of American society, obviously very patriarchal, very white, but also when it comes to the arts and creativity, lack thereof, there's only a specific type of, I don't even want to call it entertainment, but a specific type of niche that they go after. And it's going to be violent. It's going to have sex in it. It's going to have skin in it. Of course, the women have to be beautiful. So to say that, well, we're not represented in that, I was like, do we want to be? Cultura, when you look at the cultura, even the novelas, the novelas are rooted, even there's still love and there's still joy. Yeah, there's the little that, you know, of course, we're human. We want the juicy stuff. But, you know, there's so much love and joy and happiness. Like you say, the celebration por tu abuelo, you know, the joy and the happiness. I just think we need to bring that out as this is what we want to watch. And that's what I feel the younger generation brings forward.
Yeah, I mean, it goes right into the topic of like why I co-own and showrun and executive produce like the show Moonlight Comedy. And it's something where, you know, flat out, we want to make fun of the absurdity of human nature and not of marginalized identities. This is what I tell everybody, because it's, you know, there are people who do punch down who are flat out homophobic, transphobic, sexist, racist. And we're giving awards to people like this. You can openly say like, oh, I'm Team Turf. And they get a Grammy for Best Spoken Comedy Album. We don't have to be transphobic in our jokes. We don't. Yeah. And if you are.
Nor should we.
Nor should we. You don't have to. We. And you shouldn't.
This isn't even a topic.
No. Ya sabes, es porque like hay mucho la gente de que like no saben la pena que tienen si quiere, if you're like, you know, a different comunidad. Well, it's very upsetting because I look at it every day. And the matter of the fact is that millions of people are feeling lesser than because of the humor. Like I read an article in my undergrad and it was how humor establishes hierarchy. And because there's an in-group, there's an out-group, you know, in-group, out-group.
I see.
If you are, you know, in the group, you're laughing, you know the joke, you know the knowledge, you know, but if you don't, you're othered. It's a power dynamic. So a lot of people really don't know that. And that was kind of like a big, you know, like a big, you know, realization.
Oh gosh, we're going to make that the clip. I've never even heard anyone express it as such. It's like, wow, mind blown. Yeah, this is like university session here. And it's so why I really don't enjoy American humor, because it's always making fun of someone else. And it's usually really physical. It's like that people laugh when someone gets hurt. I'm like, this, why? Yeah. Why is this funny? Or being made fun of. And it's really hard. It breaks my heart. I hate watching it. So,
yeah.
Now we're going into comedy. Moonlight Comedy Productions. So tell us more about this.
God, this is such an amazing project. I'm so proud of it. I'm the director, like the showrunner, executive producer of the LA division. And then I have my partner, Maria Faye Picard. She's a Filipina like activist. She's been doing her thing for over 20 years. She's in the Bay Area. And she's co-showrunner as well. So we're both like, we've been doing this for over a year and a half. It was under a different name called Funny's Not Dead, but we decided to make our own company nonprofit and to make it more so representative of who we are, you know? And I'm just so amazed at the amount of like support we're getting towards this, because it's like, you know, it's like a dream come true. Like, you know, our mission is as simple as just to create an intersectional representation within the comedic space, you know, cut and dry. We want to bring every voice, not just like Latinos and Latinas or Latinx community that, you know, haven't been seen on the screen. I make it a point to hire people who are, you know, of color, who are LGBTQIA and who feel open enough to say that I am disabled. You know, I have mental health issues. I have X, Y, and Z. You know, it's definitely something that I make it open and having a safe space as a showrunner of the LA division. And I have a passionate and a beautiful crew. Like, there's so much talent out there that goes ignored because of preconceived biases. And it's like, yeah, it just, I did not want to do that. Like, I just wanted everyone to feel like, okay, I can talk to Hope. You know, she's por la raza. She's, you know, she's wants everything to be up there on the screen and transparent and authentic. And that's kind of where I lie. I want authenticity all around, you know, and I'm bringing authenticity to my heart right here itself.
Yeah. Because it is safe and is welcome. And yeah, well, that is so powerful. And it's so beautiful. Like, I'm just be authentically who you are. And you haven't talked money. You haven't talked where you want to be seen. You haven't talked your ego, which is what most people are accustomed to hearing first. This is a beautiful, open-ended opportunity for anyone to step into and be part of something that we definitely haven't heard, because this doesn't exist, right?
I wanted it to be that way of like, okay, of course I'm going to work on other projects that highlight the Latina, the Chicana experience. Like, I will do that. But like, at this moment in time, this project is supposed to uplift everyone who is in my network, anyone who has reached out to me about interest in the project, those who have applied. Like, I've met with pretty much everyone who had applied, just to see everybody's story. Everyone has a good heart. Everyone's ambitious. Everyone has the same mission and goal. Otherwise, it's, you know, it's not going to work out.
What's the type of show that you think is coming out of all this?
Oh my God. I always say that the main comparables that I have is like SNL mixed with Between Two Ferns and Portlandia. It's going to be quirky. Serious. Like, it's quirky and it's fun and it's absurd. And, you know, the way that we're going to format the show is also a hybrid type of format. Like, because that's what reflects reality. You know, we're absurd, we're hybrid, we're contradictory. We need to embrace all of these aspects instead of being scared of that, you know, scared of the unknown, scared of like things being weird sometimes, like, because, you know, that's just how life is. Like, people are silly. People are silly. And
hopefully they're more refreshing when they are.
Well, once they get down to their true selves, you know.
Yes. Feels like, just how you said right now, that people could actually find healing in this comedic arena. That this is a place to actually come heal by bringing yourself forward and being loved for it.
Absolutely.
That you are the center of it and not the othered.
Yeah, everyone's the center of it. You know, everyone who is definitely like bringing their perspective and voice and contributing to the project is the center of it. Like, it's always, and especially like, you know, I just always love Maria. Maria, she's amazing. She literally, she's an A-game, you know, filmmaker. And I love her integrity. And I love just having the fact that we have the same goals.
Now that you're snowballing with this, you're creating this, you're raising funds for this. We will get to that later. Yes. We're not going to miss that. What are things like, are real life that you couldn't have known until you were just in the thick of it? What's coming up?
that I couldn't have known. Well, you have to be vulnerable. You gotta be. You gotta be yourself. You gotta be open-ended with what you put on into the world. Otherwise, it's not authentic. It's not you. It's only done for the ego. And I really don't like that. I've met a lot of people. I was able to, you know, kind of weed people out according to what their integrity is. And, you know, it's a very intuitive process. You know, I think it's just such an intuitive process that we have to be like, okay, trust your gut. I was going to also like say another thing, the part like the going back to the absurdity of it all. The philosophy was based on Albert Camus' philosophy of absurdism. And it's basically like, it's a more optimistic way of viewing life. You know, it's not nihilistic. It's not, you know, it's not something that makes you feel bad. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to highlight, bring the absurdism to the everyday life. And
I think that's what I was saying earlier about even, it's like you look at it through a different lens. How you view life is a different lens, and you're allowing, inviting people to look at even their own life through that lens. Like, no. And then therein brings the healing, I think. It's like, because we can be so hard on ourselves and meeting even our own expectations, but then you're meeting the families and then the cultures and then societies, and it becomes so heavy. And this kind of humor allows you to actually change how you view yourself rather than just zone out and laugh for a little bit and go back to that horrible, overburdening expectation. I love this. I love how that you're helping us learn how to look at ourselves in a different lens of lightheartedness and just the, yes, this is what real life is. This is what being human is. Otherwise, you'd be a god up there that they all talk about.
Yeah.
Even those gods got dinged, so.
Oh, girl.
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of the whole point. Thank you for just like, you know, expressing that, because that's the message we want to get across. We want to be able to be like, okay, well, you know, we want people to learn lessons and not feel like, you know, lesser than when seeing comedy. Awesome. It's
awesome.
Yeah. It's something that's really great. Yeah.
I love this. I'm so excited for this. I'm excited for comedy because I'm not usually the comedic girl. I'll do a rom-com. I got to say, I do love my rom-coms. They make me feel good.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I can do every now and then the SNL resonates, especially from the way back. I got to say, there's a lot of classics in there. Yeah, but this is making me excited for this whole other, I think, redefine comedy.
Absolutely.
It feels like you're redefining comedy. For someone out there, for our listeners thinking about, gee, I've always wanted to do that. You know, it seems so difficult. What do you suggest? What do you think is available? Like you say, breaking the conformity of what's been done before. What is going on right now that people could get into this space on?
Well, I would say like it goes back to the point of just being vulnerable and putting yourself out there and being accepted to criticism as well as praise. You know, we don't want anybody to feel like they're lesser than because they get a rejection letter, or, you know, it's just a part of the process. And that process, unfortunately, does take time, and it takes a lot of ambition, and it takes a lot of just like vulnerability. You know, that's obviously like the bravest thing that we can do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah.
But you have to be free of the expectations. You have to free yourself of expectation, but also that vulnerability, because it's 100% for the creatives, 100% for the creatives. You are creating something that's coming of you. It's from your soul. It's from truly who you are. It's like giving birth and then putting that out there. Okay, I got to say, that's insane. That is insane vulnerability, because you're putting it out there for people's opinion. And you're reminding people, no, stay strong in who you are. And it's not for everybody, but it has nothing to do with who you are.
It's not personal at all. It just has to do with what the expectations are of society at this moment in time. You know, they constantly changes, but like we just need to constantly remind ourselves, you know, and not have imposter syndrome and to not feel like we don't belong in the space, because we do. I mean, we've been in this space like way before, like, you know, we were always here, like, you know, we were always here. So we just got to remind ourselves of that. You know, that's so important. That's the advice I would give.
And that's why you're making your own space. Exactly. Making your own space is where the energy should be put. Mm-hmm. Do that heavy lifting for yourself. Make your own space, that inviting space, rather than wasting that energy trying to break into something that wasn't made for you, doesn't want you, is making it difficult. Don't waste the energy there, right? Yeah. Build your own. Which is a lot. I mean, it's insane.
It's a lot. It's so much work. It's so much, but like, it takes a support system. It takes a village to raise a child.
I see in you that from the very little time that we've known each other, I just felt you right away. Found each other on Threads. I can feel your energy right away. The vivacity is just like coming out of the screen. But I noticed that you're very good. And I am not, because it comes from my upbringing in the cultura, the only girl. very bad. I am very bad and you are very, very good. And I think you need this immensely in your industry, asking for help.
Yes, absolutely. I ask for help and it's very much so in the community. In the community that is like, no, you just gotta lift yourself up. And it's like, it's kind of similar in the, you know, American individualisms, lift yourself up by the bootstraps. And it's like, no, since when were we alone? You know,
so love that.
Since when were we alone? But also just don't give up. You know, it's not giving up. You'll always regret. What if I didn't do this? You know, what if I didn't try? What if I didn't create? And that's kind of where the heartbreak is with people when they don't go towards their goals. Yeah.
Beautifully said. Yeah, beautifully said. What is your personal go-to for your well-being, for your mental health, and letting that all go and finding yourself again?
Yeah, no, I honestly, like, it's been like a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster of trying to find that balance. For me personally, like, taking long baths, like, unwinding, just contemplating, you know, doing meditations, reading, listening to music and being kind of fully present. Stuff is like, I'm a true believer in the fact that we can be one with whatever we do, you know? And of course that goes to the thing of enlightenment and stuff. Like I love like studying that philosophy because it really truly, like I feel really connected right now. Like if it really truly dissolves that boundary between like you and the other, and it's a beautiful thing to connect like that, you know, to connect like this. Yeah,
it is so, like you feel like the energy. Yeah. And the strength that comes from that. And then instantaneously, I'm not alone in this space. I could be very vulnerable because I'm not alone. It's as though you're talking to the other side of yourself.
I honestly, like, this has been given me so much joy. I thank you just for, like, you know, having me come on the podcast. This is so beautiful. And I think what you're doing is absolutely just a godsend. Like, we need platforms like this. People who care, you know, that's all we ask for. Just people to care.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I want to do, I feel like I want to be the Oprah. I want to be like, this has to happen every single day. And there has to be 10,000 other women doing this in order to reach out to everyone, to get everyone to have that space. We'll think of something. You'll help me create something. You know,
I can feel this. Of course.
Okay, so let's talk money. Let's talk. This doesn't all just come out of the stars. This takes a lot, like you've said, that huge crew. And there's a lot of other parts to this that we don't know about. You know, there's got to be stages, and there's got to be, if you're doing these skits, and there's equipment. And so let's just let it out there. Give us the hard truth. Like, what do you need? Let's help you. What's the big ask?
Well, the big ask is just like, because since we're a nonprofit, we are now accepting donations. So it is something that we are going to be, we're going to take this through a grassroots campaign, quite frankly. We're going to connect with people individually. We need to think about people first. And if they spread the word, if that's as much as they can do, beautiful. That's all we can ask for.
Free advertising. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And it's something where, like, if people, we are crowdfunding, you know, we're trying to, we're going to do it through grants. We're going to do it through like advertisements, like, you know, and us like going on different platforms and spreading the word and getting people to like look at the website. And once they look at the website and go to the donation page, then that's definitely where we're going to, that's where we're going to be doing raising the funds for this point moving forward. You know, there's other platforms that we're probably going to use like later on in the future. But for the time being, we just want grassroots. We want people within our community and we want, you know, everyone to actually have a say and be a part of it instead of just gatekeeping. You know, like it's set. That's what I.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, it's just
it's a whole community build.
Yeah.
Yeah. A whole community build to bring opportunity for the community to be represented and to be heard. So what's the name of the website?
It's going to be www.moonlightcomedyproductions.com. That is our full, like, that's our homepage, but you can do /donate and that will take us to the donation page. So every little bit helps. And with the mission, just as important as this, we're just so blessed to have anybody donate, you know, $10, $20. And I think that's where we're going to succeed. And plus, you know, getting people and having grassroots, like it's personable and it's authentic in my opinion.
That is going out in the airwaves. We're going to have that in the show notes. We're going to make sure that people have easy access right through our Instagram. Go to the LinkedIn bio, bam, show notes will pop up. Yes, yes. And there's lots of opportunity because there's a lot of people already involved in the industry. And even like you said, word of mouth, networking, donation.
As soon as we produce everything, we're going to go and stream it onto platforms such as like YouTube, Vimeo, and then we're going to go to streaming services.
So tell me.
Yes.
On a personal note.
Yes.
Is there an experience that you could describe for our audience that you really felt you may not get over?
Yeah.
That it affected you in such a way that you thought, you know, this is too big, too hard, too painful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of going into a personal story. I'm not sure. I mean, it does have to do with like some dark issues. So I do want to give people like a trigger warning about, you know, just what I'm about to say.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, it has to do with like sexual assault. And it's something that I faced in the workplace, actually, when I was 20, I was groomed by somebody. He was a few years older than me. He was a supervising, like, you know, in a position of power enough to where he can control my schedules. And it's, you know, it was systematic. I thought it was like, okay, I'm falling in love, you know, and but it wasn't. It was clearly from a place of power and control. And he had done that with multiple people in the same position, like girls before I came, girls after probably I came. And then one of the days I was sexually assaulted. It was really hard.
I'm so sorry.
It really is hard. Like I blocked it. I blocked it for so long. And then in the middle of working, my body was saying, you're ready. You're ready to move on. And that's when I had to connect two and two and say, I was sexually assaulted and that I can't, you know, and it's affecting my life. It affected every single aspect. You know, I had CPTSD. It really made me feel like I didn't know who I was. And the matter of the fact is that it's people that you know, people that are within the community, you know, sometimes. And it really was kind of like disheartening. But, you know, that never really stopped me from wanting to, you know, again, like the perfectionism that has to do with like something that has I've internalized. But But to go on the issue of, you know, this power trip and this man taking advantage of me as a young girl, you know, it's doesn't matter if you're 19, 20, you know, 50,
right.
13. It doesn't matter yeah. what age you are. I just want people to know that, again, it's not your fault. It's definitely, it will never be your fault. It would never be, because you didn't do it to yourself. You know, someone had to come into your life, make you mm-hmm. believe a certain way that you're not valued, and took advantage of that. So it's definitely something that I want young girls, you know, Latinas, to not feel like they have to internalize that, but to speak out. You know, it was really hard. My family doesn't really talk. My dad and brothers don't really talk about it at all. And that's really hard. It's a hard-hitting fact not to get that support from someone so close to you. But my mom, on the other hand, she's amazing. Shout out to her on International Women's Day.
Yes.
Like, shout out to her.
We are recording this.
Yes, it's just like something that, like, she's been there, you know, since day one. So having that support system, those people that believe in you, you know, reaching out to people for help, that's the most you can do in a situation like that. You know, other than that, it's not your fault. It was never you.
Beautiful.
It is
so
really
sorry. Hard. It's a huge lesson for all of us. Huge. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
This is the vulnerability that I'm talking about. Like, otherwise, like, you're going to hold it inside. You're going to feel like it's your fault when it's clearly not. And there's going to mm-hmm. be people that tell you that it's your fault when it's clearly not.
Oh, gosh.
And that's kind of why I also talk openly about my SA experience, because it's not easy. It's something that I've ruminated, you know, and I even sent a threads the other day about, like, you know, just thinking about how, like, it's not snitching when you're trying to advocate for a safe work environment. Because I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it at mm-hmm. like midnight, and I was like, why am I still feeling this way? You know? And it just always has to do with that in the background.
I love that. That's true. That is your power. And that's exactly why we have the podcast, because your voice is your power.
Mm-hmm.
And to stay silent is giving them the power over you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. They want that threat. They want that bullying. They want to silence you because they know you have power within yourself
mm-hmm.
to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
Oh my gosh. Women. Glad we're videoing. Yes, we have to have some good music going on.
The real.
Yes, we have the power. Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is so amazing. Gracias. Just gracias. Me encanta eso. And me encanta tú. Entonces, I just, you know, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Okay, let's give that in this, while we're on this floaty cloud mode,
mm-hmm.
while we're in this pure joy mode of feeling our own strength and yeah. our own power and sí. Creating whatever world we want for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you? What is that world you want?
Just being completely at peace with myself. Just being able to sit in a room and kind of just be okay, you know, being at peace, not having to worry about, okay, what are they going to say about this? Or what do I do about this? It's like, well, we can also, like, it goes back to, you know, trying to go for enlightenment, trying to be self-actualized. And, you know, it's always a journey. That's also, like, another thing I would advocate, just, like, self-actualization and being able to belong in a space and climb towards something good and transcendental and, in a sense, godly. You know, we want to mm-hmm. have this one with people. And mm-hmm. that's what I feel now. And that's why I'm grateful.
It's so true. It's so true. Just try and free yourself from all that human guilt and doubt and fear, and just find that place that you can rise above and feel the beauty of this world. Enjoy the beauty that is here. Find the beauty and the happiness that's here. And yes, there's so much that we could take on, but we're not going to be able to act on it if we're in a state of that fear, that depression, and that heaviness that we all feel. We all go through these moments, but our strength is in our joy. And we really, and in comedy, we're going to have comedy that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
Moonlight Comedy Productions. Yeah. We are so eager for this. So out there to support you in it and donate, get to that donate page, make this happen. And let's see where this all goes. I'm just like, I'm so excited for this. Yes. So how can people reach out to you? Do you want them to reach out to you personally? You want to connect? Do you want to build your bigger community?
I mean, I'm always down to follow people. Like when, if they connected with me through Instagram, LinkedIn, Threads, you know, whatever it may be, I'm totally down to just like get to know people, as well as like, if you want to like email, the official company email, it's the same thing. It's moonlightcomedyproductions at gmail.com. So it is, it's something where we're trying to keep that consistency to where like, you know, everyone can, you know, everyone could know our name, Moonlight Comedy Productions. So it's, that's where we would, that's where we're
okay.
at. Thank you.
Okay. So reach out. We'll have all of that in the show notes on, that will drop in on the podcast. So we'll instantly link over to you. We'll make sure it's linked. And then on the YouTube video, we'll also have that at the end of, it will be in the description that will be linked, but also will be at the end of the video. So we'll have all the information of how to reach out and how to donate. Yes. How to make this happen. Oh, gosh.
You're so sweet.
You're going to take your one little drop of joy and just like.
You're so sweet. I do appreciate you, and we have to keep in contact after this. Like, this is
absolutely
I enjoy your content so much, and it's so important, you know. And just thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. No, you're very welcome. Gratitude back. Well, I told you it'd be fun.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Was that not just amazing? Did you see any of that coming? Because Hope Lopez, beautiful spirit, full of power and love and appreciation for all of humanity, and yet wanting us to lessen the load of our life and look at it through the comedic lens. I am never going to get so hung up on the little details ever again. Let's give ourselves a break. Let's give ourselves a hug. Let's lean into Hope Lopez and support Moonlight Comedy Productions. Like she says, you can find the information and a chance to donate at moonlightcomedyproductions.com on the donate page. All of the links that you heard here in this episode are in the show notes, so you can click straight through to get in contact with Hope or to learn more about her production company. Now, join us all next week when we pull the gems, the real life lessons from this week's full length episode. Because whereas Hope is all about being the full blown media mujer, she is teaching us so much from such a young age about how to approach life in a loving, kind, inclusive, representative life that affects both how we live and how the world operates. And that's what we want, to be part of the change, to make the world the way we want to see it. So join us next week for that. And until then, step into your truth, ladies. Ciao. We love that you have subscribed to this podcast and continue to champion women who understand the life of all things Latina. Be sure to follow and subscribe to the Encuentras Your Voice podcast so you don't miss a single episode. They will automatically drop into your listening device each week. And we'd really, really appreciate if you take a moment to add to the reviews that we already have. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you're hoping to hear, and we will get there. Share this with your friends and family to help us grow our comunidad, and keep following us on our social media. Tu encuentras your voice. We are so grateful to you for helping us grow this community and would love to learn of all the amazing Latinas who you know are creating the world we thrive in. So reach out to me on social media at Encuentras Your Voice, and let's keep leaning into our authenticity in pride. Help us make Encuentras Your Voice the place where you are 100% represented.